From Spark and Anvil and Climate Quest, this is Round, in Chapter 1 of the Climate Quest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini. At the bend in the river below Climate Quest, a beaver tween named Round crouched over a puddle and watched it disappear. It was a warm afternoon. The puddle had sat there since the morning rain, and now, patch by patch, the sun was lifting it into the air. A student had come down to the water with her, a jittery kid who couldn't stop chewing his lip. "It's evaporating," he said glumly. "The water's leaving. That's kind of sad, isn't it? It's just gone." Round dipped a claw in the shrinking edge of the puddle. "Gone where?" "I don't know. Up? Away? Gone, gone?" "Watch the sky in a couple of hours," Round said. She tipped her round face upward, chestnut fur catching the light. "That water isn't leaving. It's going up to be a cloud, and a cloud is going to be rain, and the rain is coming right back down into this river. It always does. I've watched this same water go around my whole life." She grinned. "It's not disappearing. It's just taking the long way home." The kid squinted at the last silver sliver of puddle, then up at a fat white cloud, like he was seeing a trick, and couldn't find where the coin went. Round had not always trusted the loops. She'd grown up in a beaver family of dam builders, generations of them, shaping the flow of the village rivers so the whole valley could drink. One dry summer, when she was small, the river ran thin and brown, and Round had stood on the cracked mud where deep water used to be and felt her chest go tight and cold. "It's ending," she thought. "The water is running out, and it's not coming back, and there's nothing anyone can do." Her grandmother had found her there, an old broad-tailed beaver with mud to her elbows, and hadn't told her to cheer up. She just sat down beside her in the dry riverbed. "Feels like the world's leaking away, doesn't it?" her grandmother said. "Like something's being lost, and you can't stop it." Round had nodded, throat aching. "But look up, little one," her grandmother pointed, at the heavy gray clouds stacking over the far ridge. "Where do you think all that came from? The river didn't vanish. It went up. It's sitting right there, waiting to fall." She patted the cracked mud. "Nothing's leaking away. It's moving. The water goes ocean to sky to rain to river to ocean, round and round, and it's been doing that longer than there have been beavers to watch it. Your job isn't to stop the loop. You couldn't if you tried. Your job is to shape it, guide it, hold some back, let some through, so everyone downstream gets a turn." That was the first time the tight, cold, everything's ending feeling loosened in Round's chest. The water wasn't gone. It was only somewhere she couldn't see yet. Somehow, knowing that made the dry riverbed bearable to sit in.
She walked to Climate Quest when she was 12, her paws still smelling of river mud and fresh-cut wood. Cirrus, the mentor who ran the lessons, met her at the gate and asked one question. "What is the carbon cycle?" Round didn't reach for a speech. She crouched, scooped a handful of dark soil from the garden bed by the gate, and let it sift through her claws. Then she pointed, at the soil, at a leaf overhead, at the gray smudge of wood smoke rising from a chimney in the town, at the far blue line of the sea. "Carbon's in the dirt," she said. "It goes up into the leaf when the plant breathes it in. The leaf falls, the carbon goes back to the dirt. Some of it drifts up as smoke, some sinks into the sea. It keeps going around. Sky, plant, soil, sea, back to sky." She stood and brushed off her paws. "It doesn't get used up. It just keeps moving from one place to the next. Same as water. Round and round." Cirrus was quiet for a moment, watching the last of the soil fall from her fur. "And climate change?" "That's not the carbon running out," Round said. "It's the loop getting lopsided. We pulled a whole lot of carbon up out of deep underground, where it was resting for millions of years, and pushed it into the sky faster than the plants and the sea can pull it back. The sky's holding more than its share now." She looked steadily up at the mentor. "But the loop still turns. We just have to slow down how fast we're shoving carbon into the crowded part. Sierra smiled. Welcome. There's a workbench with your name on it.
Round's workbench was covered in a huge flow diagram, arrows curling in two colors, one for carbon, one for water. And students came to it when the size of things frightened them. The jittery kid from the river came back one afternoon, worse than before. He'd read something. His hands wouldn't stay still. It's too big, he said. The whole sky, the whole ocean. I can't fix the sky, so what's even the point? Round knew that feeling. She'd felt it in a dry riverbed with her chest full of ice. Come here, she said, and tapped a spot on the diagram where an arrow ran from deep underground straight up to the sky. This one arrow, that's fossil fuel, old buried carbon, getting dug up and burned and rushed into the air. See how fat it is? That's the loop going too fast, right there. Yeah, so? So we don't have to fix the sky. She traced her claw back down the arrow, slowing it. We just have to make this one arrow thinner. Every tree that keeps growing pulls carbon down out of the sky and into wood. That's this loop here, still working, still turning. Every bit of fuel we don't burn is carbon that stays put underground. The plants are helping, the oceans are helping. They never stopped. She looked at him. You can't lift a whole river, but you can build one good dam and change where the water goes. Small and real beats big and frozen, every single time. The kid stared at the thin arrow and the fat arrow for a long moment. His hands went quiet. So it's not ending. It's just crowded in one spot. Crowded, not ending, Round said. Balance can shift back. It's already trying.
Later, when the workshop was empty, he came back one more time. Quieter now, at the door. When it's this big, he said, and you can't see it getting better, how do you keep from feeling like it's hopeless? Round thought about the dry riverbed and the ice in her chest and the heavy gray clouds her grandmother had pointed to. I look for the loop, she said. When something feels like it's leaking away forever, I remind myself it's almost never gone. It's just moved somewhere I can't see yet. The water that dried up is a cloud. The carbon we can't pull down today, the trees are working on. Nothing in a loop is ever really lost. It's just taking the long way around. She looked out the window toward her river bend, where the water always came back. That's not me pretending everything's fine. It's me remembering that things move, and when they move, they can be guided. That feeling, the one where your chest unclenches because there's one real thing you can actually do, that's the truest feeling I know. Hold on to that one. It carries. The kid breathed out, slow, and Round watched his shoulders come down from around his ears, the same way years ago hers had, sitting in the mud beside her grandmother. He didn't say anything else. He didn't need to. He just stood there a moment longer, easy now, watching a cloud drift past the window on its long way back to the river.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Round. Released under Creative Commons BYNCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.